God has an encouraging word for you and me today on this Friday from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on the Encouraging Word. In these next few moments, we're going to find encouragement in an unusual subject. That's right. Dr. Don's subject is, what about hell? You know, sometimes that sense of scaring that out of us is a tool of preachers. But today, Dr. Don's going to be sharing the truth, the opportunity to understand that hell is indeed real. But how does that change the way we think, especially the way we think about those around us that are far from God? In these next few moments, just know that we're going straight to the book, the Bible itself, with Dr. Don Wilton, and we'd love to encourage you to join us. You can listen along and visit our website while you're doing so at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to connect with you. Now, today's message, What About Hell? With Dr. Don Wilton.
Yes, my friends, God does tell us that hell is real. I have received scores of questions from you about this place that people use as a cuss word and people quote and write about and ignore. Yes, I just want you to know this is a real issue. And we ask so many questions, don't we? God has answered that question. There is a place called hell. One of my most precious of all questions came from a child. It took me a little while to figure out what it was this child was asking me, because all it said was, Dr. Wilton, what is help? And so I did a little investigating and found out who had asked the question, and so I was able to ask of it personally. And actually, this little person was actually asking about hell. What is help? Children can say some wonderful things. I'm so glad that when we talk about hell, there is help, major help. And if there was any prayer that I have prayed for you this week, it's that you would understand that that's why the Lord Jesus came and died on a cross. There's not one, not a single person who ever needs to go to this place called hell. I'm going to show you how you can come to know the Lord Jesus, and how you can go to heaven to be with Him, how you can know that you are not going to hell. But I want to show you what God has to say about this place. And we're going to begin in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 25. Two people and two destinies. This story that we read in this passage has to do with one God, two people, just like you and me, and two completely different destinies. Listen to what God's Word says in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Now let me read this again. Verse 34, then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the King will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it as unto me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It doesn't matter what the talk shows have to report. It doesn't matter how much Bill Maher might mock the very face of God. God's word tells us that hell is real. Here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to give to you very quickly six things that the Bible tells us about hell. Is this everything? Not by any means. But I promise you, the Lord is going to get a hold of your heart. And I want you to know that in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to give your life to Christ. Some of you are going to say to me, Pastor, how can I make certain that I don't go there? Give your heart to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seat. I'm going to invite you to come from the balcony. I'm going to invite you today to turn to a friend and say, would you come with me? I'll pray with you. I'm going to ask you today to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. You see, He loves you. That's why He gave Jesus to die for you. And He invites all who would believe in Him to come to Him, just to confess your sin to Him and repent of that sin and trust Him as your Savior. You know what happens when you do that? Instantly, you are forgiven of your sin. Your name is written down in God's book in heaven. And when you die, or if Jesus were to come again first, you, my friend, and all who love Him will be taken immediately up into the presence of the King. This is what the Bible says. Number one, the Bible tells us that hell is reasonable. I want you to write that word. Hell is reasonable. See, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. When those two bomb blasts went off at the Boston Marathon, I could hardly comprehend that somebody would do something like that. We had some of our church members that were up there running, and we immediately got into panic mode. One of my very best friends, who's here today, I sent him a text immediately, said, are you okay? And I was relieved to find out that actually he hadn't gone and he hadn't run. But then I had other friends in our church who had. And so we were very concerned. But folks, as I began to look at that carnage, what was going through your mind? I can't imagine an 8-year-old boy being killed like that at an event like that. The whole issue surrounding the Boston Marathon bombings was reprehensible. There are no good words. Are there good words to describe this? Is there anything that you can say good? What we do consider good and wonderful is the response, the people who were there, the people who rushed into the very blast itself. That's what was good, was the human spirit, what people did. But the event, the happening, just heinous. I mean, I don't know, folks. I cannot come up with an adjective. I can't give you a word to describe what I feel about the horrific nature of what happened. Then what happened afterwards? They identified these two brothers. We all know that. I cannot conceive them murdering a police officer from MIT, just killing him in cold blood. Anyone got a word to describe how you, 26-year-old police officer, just murdered him? Hijack a car, go on a rampage. One of the older brother gets shot and killed, and we know the whole story. Now, here's the bottom line. I want you to listen to this. I'm not putting you on the spot. How many of you here genuinely and honestly would say, I believe, notwithstanding all the processes of the justice system, I believe that the perpetrators of such a heinous crime against humanity should be fully and completely punished according to the complete letter of the law? How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Put your hands down again. That's reasonable. This is what God says. The wages of sin is death. If we in America believe that someone should be punished accordingly for crimes against us, how much more ought not we to be punished for violating the holiness of God? Hell is reasonable. Who is God? If we can come together as a community and say, there is not a doubt in our mind that we should have a prison system, and people who commit crimes, who kill people, should receive the death penalty, should be put into jail for life, should never get out, should be incarcerated, should be put in chains. God, who is righteous and holy, tells us that the wages of sin is death. Hell is reasonable. Number two, hell is justifiable. That's what the Bible teaches us. Hell is justifiable. Do you know that the psalmist reminds us that not only is God judge, but he is righteous judge. God is the judge of the living and the dead. The psalmist said he will judge the world according to righteousness. In fact, he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, in the presence of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge both the living and the dead in view of the coming of Jesus Christ to receive us unto himself. God is just, and the place of his justice is justifiably according to the law of God. That's what God's saying. Because he is God judge, just as you and I, when we sin against humanity, we are put in prison, we pay for our life, we are incarcerated, how much more so God's word telling us that God tells us that we will pay for the sin that has separated us from God. I wish I was going to leave it there. I can't wait to get to the good news. Bottom line is this, my friend. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says because of our sin, the sin of Adam, we are separated from him. And unless we are willing to turn our lives over to him and to trust him and to confess of that sin and to repent of that sin before him, we're going to hell. Friend, you are going to hell. You are going to hell. If you don't give your life to Christ, you are going to hell. God says it. He tells us about it. This place, hell, is both reasonable and justifiable. But number three, hell is personable. Hell is personable. Just as some of you will remember last week, I preached on heaven. So could I just tell you a few things about heaven? We've already discovered this. Do you know that the Bible says that heaven is going to be filled with people? I think last week, I'm trying to remember what I preached on last week. Oh yeah, there are going to be millions of angels. There are going to be 24 elders and four living creatures. And there are going to be multitudes upon multitudes. Let me tell you who's in heaven. God's in heaven. The person, Jesus Christ, is in heaven. God the Spirit in heaven. Three in one. Your mama's there. Your daddy's there. Your brother's there. Your uncle, your aunt, your son that you lost. That hurting heart of yours can take comfort because we're going to be in heaven. We're going to surround his throne. And just as heaven is going to be filled with people like you and me, so it is, the Bible says, hell is going to be filled with people One of the most staggering verses in the Bible is Jude 7. It's just a little book prior to the book of Revelation. It's kind of got one chapter, you know. Jude 7, I just read it to you. The Bible says in a similar way, listen to this, Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves up. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. You listening, America? You read that again. This is what God says. In a similar way, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves up to sexual perversion and to immorality. And as a result, they suffer as an example of those people who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Somebody once said to me, where exactly is hell? I'm going to give you my personal opinion. I believe hell is in the middle of the earth. I do. Because every time the Bible talks about heaven, the Bible talks about heaven being up. Steve, when you sang a little while ago, you quoted from Luke chapter 16. The Bible said when he was buried, when you bury people, they go down. I've often wondered, this is Don, okay, everybody, you're all looking at me, this is me. I've often wondered why when volcanoes erupt, fire comes from the earth. What is down there in the center? What's under the earth? Why does the Bible talk about under the earth? Why did Jesus, when he died, why did he go down into hell? The Bible tells us, my friends, that hell is personable. Folks, watch me here. The single most difficult thing for us to accept is that the person sitting next to us can potentially go to hell. We don't want to think like that. We don't want to think of people. We don't want to think of mom, dad, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, friend, neighbor. We don't want to. That's the hardest thing in the world. You will resist that. I promise you right now, Satan will get a hold of your heart right now. He will get a hold of you right now and say, have you ever heard of anything so stupidly ridiculous? Don't listen to him. There's no such thing. That's why the most comfortable religions in the world deny the existence of hell. That's why people believe in places like purgatory. The Bible doesn't talk about purgatory. There's not a single mention of purgatory in the Bible. Not one. Anywhere. God doesn't say one word about it. People who believe in purgatory actually believe, they've been taught by their church, they've been taught by somebody that said, listen, when people die, you go to purgatory. It comes from the word or the verb to purge. And people who believe that, which is a total lie, it's not in the Bible, believe that all people go and you spend a little bit of time in this kind of holding cell where you are purged of your sin. And the amount of time you spend in purgatory is in proportion to the number of sins that have accumulated against you that have not been forgiven. And ultimately, people who believe in purgatory believe everybody's going to end up in heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. Have you ever had someone say to you, oh, come on, everybody's going to heaven? No, they're not. No, they're not. And the hardest thing is this issue of the personable nature of hell. I battle with that because I've had friends, folks. Man, I had some guys with me when I was in the military that, if you don't know Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. God cannot let you into a holy and a righteous place in His presence if you have not been forgiven of your sin. Hell is reasonable, justifiable, personal. But let me just tell you this, number four, hell is miserable. I got to put that on the table. Hell is miserable. Listen to what Revelation 20 says, at least Matthew chapter 13. Let me give you Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out His kingdom of everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Now listen to this. The angels will throw them into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of a rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man who had everything in life, he must have been an American, He had everything, but he died. The Bible says he was buried, and you know what Jesus said in Luke 16? He said in hell, he lift up his eyes, watch this, being in torments. Now, folks, I don't like to talk about that. That's not my favorite subject. Hell's not popular. It's not something we gravitate toward. I don't want to get up there and say, man, I just can't wait to preach on hell. Because the Bible says it's a place of torment. It is miserable. Why would you want to go there? Any more than I would say to you, why would you want to go out of here and commit a crime knowing that you're going to go to prison or you're going to be executed? Why would you do such a thing? What causes someone to do that? Why would you want to go to a place so miserable? And the point is this, you don't have to go there because Jesus loves you. He died for you, gave his life for you. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus said, they that call upon my name will be saved. The very word save means to be rescued from. Isn't that great? So what about hell? Hell is miserable. Number five, hell is eternal. Hell is eternal. Hell is eternal. Listen to what Revelation tells us. You know how much I love that final book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. I'm just going to read it to you. This is what Revelation 20 and verse 10 tells us. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are. Remember, the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Book of Revelation teaches us about the unholy Trinity. The devil, Satan, Antichrist, called the beast, and the false prophet. The unholy Trinity. The devil, Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, a great religious leader that everybody will know, who is going to give a religious justification for people to follow after Satan and against God. He's going to give a religious justification. He's going to divert everyone's attention away from God and toward the devil. The Bible says the thief, the devil, has come to seek you out and to destroy you and to kill you and to break you down. And the Bible tells us that the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where both the beast, that's Antichrist, and the false prophet are. This is at the end of the world, at the book of Revelation here. And they will be tormented day and night forever and forever and forever. When Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, and that rich man begged Abraham, he said, please send someone back to Spartanburg. Please send someone back to Asheville, North Carolina. Please send someone back to Charlotte. Please send someone back to Greer. Please send someone back to Gaffney. Please send someone back to Cowpens. Please send someone back to Lawrence. Please send someone back to Chicago. Please send someone back to New Orleans. That's where I live, because I've got five brothers who are still alive. Please send someone back from the dead. Could go and beg with them, because this is a forever place and it's a miserable place and I'm tormented and I know, and I wouldn't listen and I didn't give my heart to Jesus when I had the opportunity to do that. Please, my brother, my sister, they live there in Spartanburg. You got to understand, they got proms going on. They're not thinking about that. They got ball games. They want their team to win. No, don't you worry. They're building a house. They've got no time. You got to understand, they just lost their home. They're hurting. Please send somebody back, because I know that I have paid the wages of my sin. And now forever, there's no turning back. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. That's why I want you to give your life to Jesus. But there's one more great point here that I want to give you. The sixth thing I want to tell you is hell is avoidable. Hell is reasonable. Hell is justifiable. Hell is personable. Hell is miserable. Hell is eternal. But get this. Hell, yep, you got it. Hell is avoidable. Hell is avoidable. I love 1 John chapter 5. and verse 13. This is what the apostle said. Now get this. He said, I write these things. I write these things that God is saying about heaven and hell, about his love, about his grace. I write these things to those of you who would believe, so that you may know that you 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 have eternal life. He that has the Son, you got it, has life. But the one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Hell is avoidable, my friend. Steve is going to come here and join me, and we're going to be singing together. And here's what I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to ask you to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you let us pray with you today? Would you let us help you? Would you let us show you the way? By the way, did you know this? All of us have come to know Jesus Christ exactly the same way. It's the same way. We've all acknowledged our sin. We've all confessed that sin to Jesus and repented of that sin. And we've all placed our faith and trust in him. Are you ready to do that?
It's been a powerful week with the preaching of Dr. Don, with the sharing of that invitation right now. What are you going to do about it? Forgive me for being so direct, but I know of friends that I have been praying for. I know you're listening right now. And God has stirred your heart to change, to a new beginning in Christ. Let's talk. The number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Let's connect. If you have questions, we'll discover those answers in God's encouraging word. If you'd rather connect keyboard to keyboard, we're doing that online as well at theencouragingword.org. Every day, ministry is taking place, and I want to thank you for those of you that are prayerfully and financially supporting our ministry.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner with me. Together, we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.
Our time's gone for now, but let's stay connected online at theencouragingword.org or the phone number 866-899-9673.